thankful to be here. Woo, just really thankful. And I just want to first take time out to thank Deacon Napier and Sister Margaret for those solos that they gave us this morning. And as you know, we don't have choirs on the Sunday, so anybody that's willing that you're going to sing a song for us. And my baby, I guess he ain't seen me in a long time. That's Doris's grandbaby. But anyway, it's been a lot of sicknesses, and a lot of us are struggling, going through. And I happened to call a friend of mine this morning. I'm not going to talk with a second, but when I called her, she was so down. And I said, "What's going on?" And she began to share with me. And I shared with her, and I said, "You know, God has really been good to us. And he's brought us through many things, and he's going to bring you through this thing too." And by the time we got through praying and on the phone, she had to lay the phone down and start clapping and praising God. Because we know what he is capable of doing, and we know what he's already done for us. So we're going to go through some rough times. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. And I've had some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes can't see, so I'll say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. More than this old world could ever be. God, he's been good to me. To me, he dries my weeping eyes. He hears me when I cry. So I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain, 'cause God's been so good to me. He's been so good to me. More than this old world could ever be. God's been good to me. He knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes can't see. So I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain.
Amen. Amen. Thank all those who lent their voices this morning, singing without music. It's not easy. takes a little courage, don't it, Margaret? Once Margaret got started, she was all right, though. That head started moving. I said, she all right now, the head moving. Amen. God bless you. You know, it's so wonderful to see, you know, the quiet saints stand up and sing praises to the Lord, you know. It's not easy for all of us to get behind a mic in front of people. And we thank God for giving us that courage that we need to do that. Amen. Let's continue. We're in our 10th sermon. It's our last sermon out of Luke chapter 9. The 10th sermon, the last one out of Luke chapter 9. The next couple weeks after today, we're going to get into our resurrection message and start heading to the cross. We're going to start heading to the cross. And that's really what Luke is talking about here, and Jesus is heading to the cross. So let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Let's look at the last, I believe, five verses, 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Let's all stand when you have it. A very fascinating subject this morning, one that I believe we'll find ourselves in, one of these three fellows. We're going to find ourselves. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son to come to this filthy world and die for a wretch like myself. Yeah. Father God, I ask this morning that you would just speak through the man of God. Give him a word, Father God. Not what he thinks the word should say, not what he wants the word to say, but give him what the word says. And give him courage, Father God, to preach it. An unpopular word, a word that many may not want to hear. Give him courage this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So much talk these days. Folks want the church to be friendly. And we're a loving church. And we want the church to be a loving place, a friendly place. And a lot of times we have to translate that to mean it's not a church that's going to confront error. It's going to be a church that's not going to speak the truth. It's going to be a church where folk can come in and sit and be comfortable and do whatever they want to do and, you know, say, well, I like your pastor because he's so nice. A church where sin is not mentioned, repentance is not taught, holiness and sanctification is out the window. Homosexuality, that's taboo. We don't want to offend them into getting saved or just turning around. Don't mention the fact that within 2 miles of this church, there's 55 registered sex offenders. Don't want to mention that because 5 or 6 of them may be in the church and we don't want to run them out or confront them in their error. And we don't want to mess with the man that's cheating on his wife. We don't want to offend him. He may not come back neither. We don't want to mention all the gambling cafes that are surrounding our churches. We don't want to offend the Masons who congregate a majority of churches in this city and teach a whole lot of stuff that the Bible don't talk about. Here's a story. I'm as my introduction. I want to talk about Tim Tebow real quick. Everybody know who Tim Tebow is? Let me read it so y'all want. This came out of the newspaper. I just copied it. It says, Tim Tebow canceled speech event at organized prosperity gospel preacher. So this gospel prosperity gospel preacher, some of y'all may know him, Ron Parsley. It says, Tim Tebow is canceling an appearance at a revival organized by a prosperity gospel preacher. He says, the year's most talked about Christian athlete was scheduled to speak at a 3-day Columbus event in March led by televangelist Parsley. In a phone interview with Associated Press, Tim Tebow's brother researched the event before saying yes, hadn't researched the event before saying yes to the invitation. He said, I know now for a fact that Tim is not going to be a part of it. Robbie Tebow said, that's being resolved. Parsley pastors the World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, and heads up the World Harvest Ministerial Alliance. His church services and personal appearances are telecast over TBN TV and Daystar TV in a program called Breakthrough, along with his confusion about doctrines like the Trinity, the Holy Ghost is no different than Jesus, and Jesus is no different than the Holy Ghost. Parsley teaches that God wants believers to be wealthy. As the AP reports last year, Parsley asked followers to donate more than $1 million to ward off satanic attacks. I wouldn't need that much to ward them off of me. Give me enough to retire. Now, here's interesting because it sort of lends to where we're going with this subject. Why does it matter? The young quarterback understands that speaking at an event, he would be lending his credibility to men who preach a false gospel. Okay? By refusing to speak at an event, he may be able to signal to people unfamiliar with the prosperity gospel that those who believe in the true gospel should avoid publicly associating with false teachers. Pay attention to that, Joanne, when you go to Columbus. Okay, so we read our text, and it's a fascinating text, and that's one that's really familiar with all of us. But what we find here, Jesus in verse 56 has set his face towards Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. And the people really didn't understand. Last week we talked about the apostles. While he had set his face toward Jerusalem, they were still posturing and bannering who's going to be the greatest. Yeah. I imagine a lot of that's going on with the NCAA right now with the basketball and who's going to win and who's going to be the MVP and what coach is going to be coach of the year, all this kind of stuff. But they were badgering about who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus was when he says set his face toward Jerusalem, he said, I'm on my way to die for the sins of the world. Amen. And the closest folks to him was worrying about position. Worrying about it so much and talking about it so much. And this happens today. Okay? We talk about the blessings and the blessings and the blessings. And a lot of folks just come to church to see if they can be blessed, to see if they can come out of a financial discord or financial troubles, because they hear that everybody going to church is blessed. A lot of churches, you need to have nice cars and different things parked out, and folks ride by and say, look, everybody, that church got nice cars. If I go there, God's going to bless me like he blessed you. And a lot of people will leave those churches and say, you know what? When I started coming to this church and given to this church, man, God started blessing me. There's a guy wrote a book out. He wrote a book called Prayer Jabez. And he said, you pray this prayer. Put it on your fridge, refrigerator, and pray this prayer 30 times a day, and God's going to bless you. And you know who got blessed? The author of the book. He got real rich on that book. Yes, he did. Now, well, what we're seeing here is folks coming to the Lord, and now the big crowd. Now, we talked about Jesus. Jesus wasn't fond of big crowds. See, we want big crowds. But every time Jesus got around a big crowd, it sounded like he got a little antsy. Because he didn't want a big crowd. He wanted some true worshipers. He wanted some true disciples. He didn't want no a crowd full of phonies. And I believe that's what a lot of the churches is. We got a church full of phonies. Okay? They know how to dress, and they know how to talk, and they know how to say all the Christian jargon. But you know what? I said, well, I'll give you 10 cents of every dollar and an hour every Sunday, and I'm going to heaven. And they really come to church to get like a hell insurance policy. Okay? Give me my hell insurance policy so, you know, when you do my funeral, tell them I went to heaven. And if you give 90% of all pastors 10 cents out of every dollar, they will definitely put you in heaven. I told y'all the story once about the shipwreck. The people were shipwrecked, and everybody was worried. And the one man was sitting over in the corner. He wasn't worried or nothing. He was over there just sitting there. And they said, man, why are you so calm? Why are you so cool? Why aren't you worried? He said, my pastor gonna find me. Much as I give to the church. And that's how we think. Let's look at these three interviews. Now, I titled this sermon, Receiving Your Marching Orders. Okay? You come to the Lord. Get your marching orders. Don't leave until you get your marching order. And everybody got a different packet. Everybody don't get the same packet. So you have to find yourself within the text. Look at verse number 57. And it came to pass. Remember verse 56. He said, I already told the disciples, I'm heading to Jerusalem. Remember, he said, go into Samaria and set it up so they will receive it. And Samaria said, we're not receiving you. And John and James said, you know what? Let us call down fire from heaven and burn them yokers up. And Jesus said, no. I didn't come. That ain't what I came for. Okay? That ain't what I came for. So some of y'all in here and y'all tinkering with the Islam and the Muslim faith, and when they talk about they wanna burn up everything and destroy everything. That's not biblical. Okay? Jesus said, I didn't come to what? To destroy man, but to save him. So he's on his way, and it came to pass. Look, and he said, and it came to pass. As they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord. Easy as that. Easy as that. Here's a certain man. Matthew 8 calls him a scribe. Matthew 8 says he was a scribe. A scribe was a lawyer. A one who studied the law, studied the religious law. He was astute. And 99.9% of all scribes hated Jesus. Here's one that wanted to follow him. Now, again, most pastors would love to have some lawyers come into the church. We'll have him head of the deacon board in 2 weeks. The trustee, he'll be running the church in 2 weeks. Oh, we do that. Watch what Jesus said. He came unto him saying, Lord. And that's excellent there. He says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, and again, many of us, we come to the Lord. We say, Lord, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to do whatever you call me to do. And then what happens? Jesus taught a parable. He taught a parable of the soils. Now, the first one fell on a hard pan, and the birds came and got that one. The second one fell on stony ground. Remember, the second one fell on stony ground. And what that meant, it was a little clay, like rock, between enough soil to take root, but not enough soil to give nutrients to that plant. And when the sun came, the heat came, it withered up. Just like some of us. Okay, so we'll run down there. I love Jesus, and you know, I've decided to follow Jesus. And then when we get out, when we leave here and we go back to our little playpens or our playgrounds where our buddies is at, guess what? That's the heat. That's the heat. And when they start calling you, man, you lame, you a knucklehead, you gonna give your life up to Jesus, man. What about all the girls? What about this and what about that? Y'all remember when Deion Sanders got saved?
All right.
Somebody say he did? Yeah, he got saved about 10 years ago. Yeah. About 10 years ago. Yeah. And he said, I got saved. He didn't count the cost. And they paraded him around. I believe he was a Cogent church. And they paraded him around. He was on Good Morning America and everything. And I'm sitting here like, oh, Lord, this man ain't count the cost. And they put him on display. It's sad. I wouldn't do that to any of you guys. I was in Columbus at the time, and they had a Christian center, one of them centers. They call it. When the church calls up a center, I say, well, you know, God called it a church. He said it ought to be a church. We call them centers. And he was at a center down in Columbus. They put his name on the big board. Deion Sanders will be here on Sunday. Flash on. Church was packed. To see Deion, hear his testimony. Deion didn't count the cost. Right now, Deion in trouble. Deion almost committed suicide, and he going through an ugly, ugly divorce with his wife now, and it's multi-million dollars and all kinds of stuff, because we don't count the cost. This man came to Jesus on his own terms. There's no mention of forgiveness of sin. There's no mention of him crying out for mercy. There's no mention of a plea for grace. These are the things that we need when we come to the Lord. Okay? There's no confession of sin, no cry for mercy, no plea for grace. No mention of a need for a Savior. He can say, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Unlike preachers the other day, and this may be tough on preachers and myself too. So I'm learning as we go. Jesus was obligated to let him know that what you've asked to do is not easy. Okay? Watch what Jesus says. And that's the name of the series for those who aren't here. And Jesus said, so, you know, here's what Jesus said in verse 58. Foxes have holes. Now, on the surface, we just look at that and just skim over and say, hey, foxes have holes. But foxes are a troublesome species of an animal. They're scavengers. They were known in that day to go into a farmer's land and just tear up the whole land, dig on holes and eating up everything. God forbid if they got into the hen house. Okay? And what Jesus is saying here, I'm going to do to this world what foxes do. I'm going to get into your world. I'm going to get into your life. I'm going to get into your hen house. I'm going to get into your private areas, and I'm going to tear up some things. But unlike a fox, the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. So you're going to follow me. We're going to disrupt some things. Now, if God has truly came into your life, he has disrupted some things. He has changed the way you look at things. He has changed the way you think about things. He has changed the way you treat your mother and your father or your neighbor or your wife or your children. When God comes into a life, he messes it up. And if you say God has came into your life and he hasn't messed it up, you probably have the wrong God, because this God is like a fox in that sense. Watch this. He didn't stop at fox. He says, not only do foxes have holes, he said birds of the air have nests. See, birds in that day, they were sought after. Pigeons and turtle doves were the number one sacrificial animal of that day. So folks wanted to get those pigeons and kill them. And Jesus saying, if you come in, follow me, folks going to want to sacrifice you. They're going to want to kill you. But unlike the birds, they got nests. And they put them nests high up in trees. And you're not going up into there trying to get that bird. But Jesus says, the Son of Man don't have a nest. So if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to depend on the safety net of God to protect you, and that's it. Amen. Now, he's not saying the man turned around like the rich young ruler did, because he laid out the same lesson for the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. But the rich young ruler looked at his stuff and went away. Okay? So when you see this here, all you young believers that came to the Lord, didn't count the cost. Been baptized, didn't count the cost. Okay? Some of y'all didn't spoke in tongues and have not count the cost. There's a cost to be. There's a price to be paid. You cannot come to Christ on your own terms. You can't. This guy, what we call a will worshiper, he willed himself into coming to Christ. You know, I've heard people say, you know what, I changed. I decided to get my life together. No. You will never decide to get saved outside of God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 said, for by grace are you saved. So if you decided to get saved on your own terms without a confession of sin, a cry for mercy, a plea for grace, then you probably have a counterfeit salvation. Okay? Now, I know the flea market is crowded this morning because it's nice outside, and they're selling a whole lot of counterfeit stuff. Okay? Some of you women here got some of them counterfeit Gucci bags. When the handle and the arm fall off of them, and the man says, no can refund. No can refund. So when you stand before the Lord with your counterfeit hell insurance policy, let's talk about this other fella. Make sure you got the real stuff. Y'all know the song. Ain't nothing like the real thing. But make sure you got the real thing. Look at the second guy. Verse 59. And he said unto another. And the first guy was a volunteer. Okay? First guy was a volunteer. He volunteered. He wanted a place in the kingdom, man. He seen Jesus on the move going to Jerusalem. He seen all the miracles. He said, he's gonna overturn Rome, and I'm gonna be sitting pretty, and I'm gonna be I'm going to be ruling as a scribe. I want to be a part of that. And Jesus said, no. It ain't that easy, fella. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. I'm not going there to set up a kingdom like you think. I'm going up there to set up a kingdom, but it's not like you think. All right. Now, here's another one. Matthew said this was a disciple. Now, understand this. This second guy was a disciple. Okay? But he said unto another, follow me. Follow me. Now, that word follow doesn't mean just get behind me and just walk. He had been doing that already. This word follow, he's taking him to a whole different level of discipleship. Okay? This word follow means, look, take on my likeness. Conform unto me. Be an example. That's what the root of the word means, example. But it has another word, another meaning to it. This is long term. This ain't no short term following here. This is it. You're gonna die following me. Ask Peter. Go online and look up Fox's Book of Martyrs and find out how all the apostles died. They all were murdered, save John. St. Andrew, you hear the St. Andrew's cross. He was crucified in that way. Peter was crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Matthew was sawn in half. He said, follow me. And that's the same call he gave all the disciples. Remember John? Remember Matthew? Matthew was sitting at the tax booth. He had just seen the man go past. You know, crippled and lame on a bed. They dropped him through the roof. When the man came back through, he was walking, dancing, holding that little bed. And Matthew would look and say, oh, Lord, only God could do that. And God seen him. And God said, Matthew, follow me. What did he do? Look at it's a short one. Matthew 9:9. I want to make sure you turn some pages. Look at it. And Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Same call he's giving this guy. Same call. But you know the something about Matthew's call? There ain't no if, buts, and wait a minute. Know what Matthew did? He rose. He arose from his deadness. Matthew's a picture of the resurrection. He arose from the deadness of robbing and stealing and hating and probably cussing and everything else. He was an evil man. A tax collector was an evil man. A tax collector, his real name was Levi, which was a Jewish name, basically meaning God is good. So here's Matthew, a Levi, robbing his own people. Robbing his own people. Because what the Roman government would take a Levi or a Jewish man and say, you tax your people. Here's what we need, $50. And whatever else you make is yours. So if you pass through Matthew's tax booth, and it might have been a $20 charge, Matthew charged you $100. He charged you $100. Guess how much he kept? 80. He was evil. Sort of like the dope boys of the day. See, the dope boys go to the dope man and get the dope. Say, look, I want you to go into your city, your community, among your own people, and destroy the community with crack cocaine and methamphetamine and pills and whatever it takes. Yes. And here you just bring me. I'm going to give you $10,000 worth of dope. You can make $100,000 on it. Just bring me my 10. Amen. See, that's why they find these boys with their head shot off. Because they're not bringing them their 10. Okay? See, you get in a dope game. See, when I'm late on my bills, they send me a little letter. They said, I don't know what it takes on city to get all the bills like that. But it'll say something to this effect. Disregard this if the check is already in the mail. This, you know. Okay? See, Big Daddy ain't sending you no letter saying disregard this. Okay. You got to pay. You have to pay. They don't operate like that. So here's this man who's been following Jesus. He's been following Jesus. Just like some of us. Been following Jesus. Some of us been in church all our life, been following Jesus. Now God is calling him to do something. He's calling him to do some preaching. Okay? What am I at? 59? And he said it to another. Follow me. But. That's a big but. You ever ask your kids to do something? I would. But. He said, follow me. And here's what the man's response was. But he said, Lord, he said, he's saying the right stuff.
Yeah.
Talking loud, saying nothing. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Now on the surface, that seemed noble. Okay? But in the Jewish culture of that day, you were buried within 24 hours after you died. Now I said, it's not like L.E. Black. They can hold you on ice for 2 weeks till you come up with some money. Okay? That's not that kind of situation here. You got 24 hours. That person was in the ground. Okay? So, one thing is ruled out right away. His father's not dead. Or, his father could be. There's another tradition they did in that culture. It's called having a bone box. And what they would do after a year, the father had been in the ground for a year, all the flesh had deteriorated off of him and decomposed, they would go take the bones and put them in a little box. And they would rebury them. So if you really want to stretch it, you could say that may be happening. Okay? But that's not what's happening here. That's not what's happening here. Because Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. After Jeremy is ordained and becomes a deacon, if I say, Jeremy, God has called you to the preaching ministry. We've watched you. The church has watched you. You've been faithful in doing all that God has called you to do. I believe God has called you to the preaching ministry. And Jeremy will say, but suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, let me take this a little. Let me stretch this. Y'all don't mind me stretching the text. I'm still going to stay in the Bible. I'm not stretching it outside of what I want this to say. There's some different names for fathers. What's one of them? Daddy? Papa? How about this one? Old man. That's my old man. I never say that. I hear some folks saying that's my old man. More wives say that too. You know, that's my old man. But what this guy might have really been saying is, and I've heard it. I've heard it from folks. I've talked to young men. I talked to a young man this week that I know God has a call on his life to preach. I've heard him preach. He traveled with me when we both got called at the same time. When I said, you know what? He's been visiting churches and preaching, and they've been asking him, would you come and help us? And he's saying to me, man, I got something that's going on. I'm not all the way together. Listen, if you're going to sit here and wait until you got it all together before you can do ministry for God, you will never do ministry. Okay, so that's not an excuse. And this is what this man is saying. And look at Paul. Paul knew something about it. And he taught this. Look at Ephesians 4:22. This is worth it. Some of us in here, well, you know, I can't be a deacon right now because I got so much stuff going on. You know, I got some loose ends over here. I got some issues with my wife. I got some issues with my kids. Listen, you're always going to have some issues with your wife. You're always going to have some issues with your kids. Look at Ephesians 4:22. Talking about this old man. And the old man, I'm saying, here the old man is representing just mess. Just family mess. There's stuff going on in your world. Watch this.
He says in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Okay? And that word conversation means behavior. It don't mean just talking. It means all your behaviors, all the stuff in your world right now. God is calling some of these young men. So we always talk about the young men. God is calling some of these young men to give their life to the Lord. But you know what? Most of them said, well, you know, I got to sow my wild oats. You know, I gotta sow my wild oats. I got a life to live, man. I got to do some things. Let me tell you something. Young people, sow your wild oats. Go out here and have five babies by five different women. You will never have a job. You will never have nothing. Because when you have all them babies, you're going to pay for them. You may get a job at GM or Packard or RMI. But soon as personnel gets the fact that you've got child support coming out the gahoo. Because once them girls find out you got a job, they all get ready to call children's service. And you making $1,200 a week, and time them five babies eat into that. You're going to come home, you're going to be working just as hard as the man next to you with two kids and a wife, and he going to Disney World, taking his kids to Chuck E. Cheese and Pizza Hut. I got some folks working in children's service here. Listen. You ain't going to have nothing. And you know what you're going to say? I ain't working for her. I ain't working for him. You're going to quit because you're not coming to work and working your behind off for $200 a week, but I'm making $1,200. And I'm going to say, let me see your check, boy. Paying for all them sowing your wild oats. So sow them. But you ought to sow in God's field. Young people, give your life to the Lord. I was talking to an inmate this week, and I'm candid with him. I'm talking to an inmate doing some time. I said, let me tell you something, boy. If you would have been married, see, ask me how long I've been married. Some of y'all don't know me. I work in a prison. He asked me how long I've been married. I said, almost 30 years. I said, let me tell you something. If you got married, you wouldn't be in here. He said, and it caught him off guard. I'm pretty upfront with him because he's my clerk. He said, you know what, Sarge, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And he thought about that thing. And I'm saying here, you know, God blesses marriage. Put off the old man. Sitting here, I hear people talk about, oh, you know, when I get it all together, then I'm going to get married. You'll never have it all together. You ain't never going to have it all together. Oh, I got to finish college. Oh, I got to finish this. You ain't going to finish it. You ain't never going to be finished with family mess. Family mess. We all have it. So this is what Jesus was saying to this man. This man saying, listen, when I got to go bury my father. He wasn't talking about his father. He was talking about all the situations and issues that he had. And Jesus said, listen. Let the dead bury the dead. Anybody can dig a hole? Okay? They got a funeral home on every corner. And they lobbying for your business. They fighting over bodies. Let the dead bury the dead. Put away youthful lust. That's how Paul tells Timothy to do. Put away youthful lust. How long do you have to run and act like a fool? Talk to young men. Well, I got 10 more years. I'll be 30, then I'm going to lay it down. You ain't going to lay it down. Dead stuff. Put it in the bone box. We're fighting over a whole lot of stuff. Let's look at this third guy. This disciple wants to go home and say goodbye to his family. I mean, you know, that didn't work out. In his house. I caught that. I didn't catch that when I was studying this. I really didn't, Reverend Jones. I was paying attention to that one. When I read it, it came to me. Watch this. Let's talk about this last one, verse 61. And another also said, Here's another one volunteering. Okay. Lord. See, everybody knows language. Okay. You get in trouble. Everybody know. Call the preacher. Don't want to hear the preacher on Sunday. Go to the hospital, you want to hear it from the preacher. You know, so-and-so in the hospital. Don't want to hear from the preacher on Sunday and Wednesday. Gotta get up there and see him. Or her. Watch this. And another one also said, Lord, they're so sweet. Lord, I will follow thee. I'll follow thee. I'll be your model. I'll be an example of you wherever I go. But let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Now that's interesting. What he said, I got some stuff. He has his own house. He got some stuff. This is a wealthy guy. Which are at my house. Okay? I got to go home and divvy up this stuff. I got to go home and he didn't say nothing about his wife. So he got to go home and tell all his boys goodbye. How many know that don't work? Okay? You go back to that house with all your boys. You leave here today, you say, you know what, I heard that old bald head preacher, and God spoke to me. And I really do need to get away from all this foolishness. These dudes hanging around me, smoking dope and getting high, and I'm heading for trouble, and I know I'm heading for trouble. I got one foot on a banana peel. I'm in trouble, and I know I'm in trouble. I'm doing some things I know I ought not be doing. I'm talking different. I'm walking different. I'm cussing and swearing. I'm watching stuff on the internet. I don't have no business watching. I'm just going out of my mind. We ain't going to be a friendly church. I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. We're going to be a friendly church.
Come on,
preacher. All right. Young people, I don't want to hear that. I'm going on the south side. They don't say nothing about nothing. Listen, people. And another one also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home. They partying right now. They partying right now, and I just want to go home and let them all know that I've decided to follow Jesus. How's that gonna work? It's not gonna work. Man, you crazy. Get here. Here's a beer. Hit this blunt. Following Jesus, that's crazy stuff, man. All these women in here, we having a party, you know. We have a good time up in here. Talking about some Jesus. We won't hear about no Jesus. See, God knows the hearts. And Jesus said unto him, now this is interesting, verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, and having looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now your hand on the plow right now. You're hearing this word, your hand on the plow.
Yes. All right.
Okay? Now, I know some of all of us in here learn how to cut grass. I know when I learn how to cut grass. My dad be watching me, got the lawnmower. Okay, Dad, well, I'm cutting. But I don't want my daddy to see me cutting. So I just turn around. And what happened when I'm cutting and I turn around? I'm cutting up all the plants. And I'm all over the place. And that's how some of the saints is in the church. They got their hands on the plow, but they're looking back. And they just tearing up stuff. tearing up stuff. Running over sticks, running over rocks. They just ain't seeing nothing because they looking back. Some of y'all know, I used to love to golf. I used to love to golf, and I thought I was Tiger Woods. I hit that ball a long way. Them boys just watch me hit the ball. Look at that boy. Ooh-wee. Just hit the ball. Stop at their ball. I said, honey, build a wall marker between your ball and mine. That was a golf joke. See, now, Reverend Johnson don't look back. So I'm standing outside on my job. I'm standing outside on my job. Honestly, it's a true story. Happened last week. It was 70 degrees. I'm out there, you know, standing on the yard with a couple guys. They come by, boy, this one, don't you miss golf? And that's how Satan is. Son, don't you miss golf? Don't you miss golf? I said, you know what? There was nothing like it. Hit the ball down the middle of the fairway, 280 yards, and then get a 9-iron and knock it up there 10 feet and knock down a bird. There's a good feeling. But I said, I'm doing something good now. I'm doing something better now. I said, there ain't nothing like standing in God's place and preaching God's word and watching folk grow. There ain't nothing better. There ain't no looking back. There ain't no looking back. This man looked back, and he had a right to, because this guy probably knew something. He said, listen, even Elijah, see, folks are trying to use the Bible to turn the tide their way. Look at King, 1 King 19. He said Jesus was using the plow because he knew this man's heart. This man probably said, well, you know, Elijah went back and kissed his mother and father before he went off to serve. True story. 1 Kings 19, I wish y'all turn there with me, because it's worth reading. And he says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Look at Elijah. Verse 19 to 19. Look what it says. So he departed. Y'all, I'm waiting for you. Okay. So he departed and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So Elijah received the mantle, which meant, 1 Kings 19, which meant you are now going to take over all that I've done. My time is up. When I leave here, I want to give all my robes to somebody. Take all these robes and preach on. And I'll sit up here with you. I'll be Pastor Emeritus. I'll sit up here with you. And he left. Look at verse 20. I'm about to call. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again. This is Elijah talking here. Go back again, for what have I done to thee? Now what he's saying is, this you ain't going to have an answer to me if you don't come back. Okay, I'm not God. God has used me to call you. And if you go back, you got to answer to God, not me. Okay? Now what he's saying here. Watch what Elijah do. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen. Oh, he's not planning on going back. Okay? See, some of the stuff that's holding us back now, we need to destroy. They make fireplace for some videos. Some of this music you go to Acts, I believe 19, and they took all that stuff and burned it up. We got some stuff in our life we need to burn up. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of ox, the same yoke that he made his living. He was a prosperous farmer and slew them. No turning back. No, I won't go back. No turning back. and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people.
Sound like a rich young ruler. That's what he was asking the rich young ruler to do. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Elijah got it. Elijah got it. Look at this. And then they did eat. He ate with them, kissed them all goodbye. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Served him. Served him. Received knowledge from him on how to do this and served him. That's a beautiful story. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. Now, y'all know Reverend Jones waiting for me. Miss Claire's friend like to preach my sermon this morning. Watch this. Hold that thought. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. God has called you. You know God has called you. And you say, you know what? I got some stuff. I got some unfinished business I need to go back and do. And you know what? God is saying you're not fit because your heart is wrong. See, y'all, you got a divided heart. We've been talking about it on Wednesday night in James 1 and 8. It said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So God can't use you when you're double-minded, wavering back and forth. Don't know when you're going to show up. Don't know when you're going to give a nickel. Don't know when you're going to do anything. Don't know when. God is looking for stability. He's looking for folks that are followers of him.
Yeah.
Not with divided heart. Let me share a story about a woman that had a divided heart. Turn to me, Genesis. I'm done. Y'all know this story. I believe Genesis 19. I wish I could read all 19. And I'll be, mark it down and read it because we're going to talk about somebody who had a divided heart. We're talking about Lot's wife here. Luke 17:32 said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Why should we remember Lot's wife? Because she was double-minded. She was unstable in all her ways. She had a divided heart. And the angels of the Lord came to her in person and dragged her up out of the house. And she still turned and looked back. Some of you here, the word of God has got a grip on you. And you just fighting it, trying to get all of that grip. I cannot serve the Lord. What will my friends think about me? I won't be cool no more. I won't be popular. It's going to cost me everything. You're doggone right it is. You are absolutely right. If you're going to follow the Lord, it's going to cost you everything. And I know that's not friendly and loving. Because, you know, a lot of folks preaching, listen, you just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And everything will be all right. That's a lie. You come to Jesus and everything ain't going to be all right. It might get rough. Look at Genesis 19. I can't go through all this. Let me start at verse 10. But the man put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Now, what has happened here? These angels have descended on Sodom. And remember, Abraham said, if you can find, just find me 10 good men. 10 good men. And I spare the whole city. Couldn't even find them. My goodness, sometimes I wonder if there's 10 good men in Youngstown. And they came into the city and the men wanted to get to know them. That's that word, Mark. They wanted to get to know them. But they didn't want to talk about heavenly things. They didn't want to talk to these angels about what's going on in heaven. What's it going to be like when we get there? Now, that's not how the word know is used here. They wanted to get intimate with these angels. And unlike them angels that used to hang over here, there's not a mention of an angel in the Bible that was other than a man. There ain't no women angels. They're not little fat little things with wings. Every mention of an angel was frightening. Touched by an angel. Now we reach back. They had to, Lot had to pull these men in. He offered them his daughters. They take my daughters. We don't want them. Okay? We want some angel flesh. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both great, small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. They just in a state of uncontrolled homosexual lust, and they were just walking around in circles till they fell over, tired, and just fell over. And the man said unto Lot, these are the angels, has thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Ain't that something? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Let me tell you something, folks. If God don't deal with America and its homosexuality and abortions and hatred, he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. He's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology if America is not condemned. Because the people in Sodom are going to say, well, what about America? Okay? We're doing the same thing that was doing happening in Sodom. Yeah. Pedophiles and homosexuality and lesbianism and all that stuff going on. Look at verse 14. This is some of us. Find yourself here. Because ain't no use you telling anybody about the Lord if your life a mess. If you're not serving them, ain't no use going to somebody. You need to come to church. They ain't doing no good for you. That's what Lot's kids are saying. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law and Mary, which married his daughters, and said, up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know what that said? Man, you must be crazy. I don't believe in your God. Your God, if you believed in God, you wouldn't be here in Sodom. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. That word iniquity means sin. You hang around it. You hang around it. When God's judgment comes and you around all of it, God may take you. You may be just taken out just because you went in the wrong crowd. I say it all the time. Hey, you know what? You take one bullet to kill somebody, but six people get locked up. I mean, you're doing life. And just was there. Wrong place, wrong time. Watch this. And while he lingered, here's Lot. Angels had already told him they're just going to burn the place. He lingered around. And the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord, being merciful unto him. Oh, we serve God of mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Because I was trying to get loose from your hand too. Ain't none of us come willingly. Ain't none of us come willingly. We had to struggle our way into God's graces. But want to sit here and tell you, no, God called me. I just came. That's what he said, making fishes of men. I don't want to catch a fish they fighting to get in. I go fishing, right, catching bluegills. I say, Ray, why you mess with them bluegills? Throw it out in the deep. Let's catch something that's gonna give us a fight. I want to see the pole bend. That's a picture of us coming out of that water, coming out of sin. We fighting like a loudmouth bass, jumping all up out of the water, trying to get loose. Every once in a while, you catch one of them, they get loose. Pop, break the line. Oh. That was us. Got loose. Broke the line right back into our sin. Go back to our boy. I got to wait for that church stuff. It almost had me. Look at this. And while he lingered, that verse 16. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. That's four people. And the Lord being merciful unto him. Four people. Four people. Four people. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought forth and had brought him forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Out in the plain, that's where Abraham is at. I chose this good green stuff. Listen, behold now. I'm going to skip that. I hate to. Look at verse 26. God gave him a plan. Don't look back. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't look back. Somebody in here looking back already, counting the cost. That's a good thing. Count them up. Don't cost you something. Look at verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. On the spot, God set up a memorial in the desert for all those who would look back. And the question, are you looking back? Are you looking back? Are you looking back? And I know the church today has made it so easy. So easy to be a Christian. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. It is difficult. It's a struggle every day. And when God truly saves you, you will have a hatred of sin. And it will grow and grow and grow until when you look at a lost and dying world, you will be heartbroken. When you read about folks that's dying and you know they didn't know the Lord. And I know it's so easy. And I know pastors have an obligation to comfort a family. But listen, all these young people getting gunned down and folks just dying, it ought to break the heart of a true believer of God. Amen. And we sitting around waving flags and doing miming and entertaining goats, trying to minister to goats. And Jesus said to Peter, what? Feed my sheep. Sheep food come from the word of God. Goat food come from painted faces and flag waving and dancing and trying to entertain folks to come to the Lord. And the only way you can fill a church up anymore is to have a musical. And that's a shame. That's a shame. The only way we fill this church up. Get some rappers in here and get some dancers in here and the church be full. Because folks don't want to hear the word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. It's precious. It's a loving word. It's a kind word. It's a friendly word. It's a word that has to be preached. Father God, I just ask that you would speak to our heart today. Speak to our soul today. Speak to our spirit today. Give someone in here today power. Power to not look back. Power to commit their lives to the Lord. power to confess that I'm a sinner. Power to say, I need your mercy. I need your grace. Power to recognize that I am lost and I am dying. And if I died right now, I would go to a burning hell. Give me strength. Give me power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody needs to be saved. And I'm not saying somebody needs to say they're saved. And I don't want somebody to think they're saved. Someone needs to know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. Jesus died on the cross, has taken the sting out of death. I'm not fearful. I am powerful. I am more than a conqueror. And I can go and face my friends and say, you know what? I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No longer bound. Are you bound today? Are you bound today? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. The doors of the church are open. Are you bound today? Mm.